Thought this morning is about seasons of life. And that word season, it means that it's a time that's characterized by a particular circumstance or feature. And if I was to make a definition, my own definition, I would say it's a season is something that's temporary. It's temporary. And temporary means it's only lasting for a limited period of time. So, I mean, we can't help when you think about seasons. And my mind is drawn naturally to just the seasons that we experience in the earth. You know, we have a winter and we have a spring and we have summer and we have fall. And no doubt this morning, if I went around the church this morning and I said, what's your favorite season? Is there a particular season maybe that you enjoy more than others? I would suspect that maybe some would say, well, I enjoy winter. And some of you may say, well, spring. I like spring. And others may say, well, it's the summer for me. And others might say it's the fall. You know, and is it in each of those answers, you know, the wonderful thing is you all are correct. You're all right. Whatever season that you enjoy the best, that's correct. And it's all right. And then you know what? Why everybody's answer would be right is the fact that when God created this earth, how did he set it up? He set it up just like that. He didn't make it so it was winter all the time. Now, we recognize maybe there are some areas on earth that you live in that maybe have a little bit more winter than others. But, you know, this is how he made it. He made it so there'd be, a winter a season. And he made it so then we could go into spring and summer and fall. And we recognize in what he did that each of those seasons, they serve a purpose. Right? And it's a benefit to all of God's creation. It's a benefit to this earth that he made to have the seasons. You know, how is it? What would it be like if it was summer all the time? Well, we'd have a problem, wouldn't we? And we recognize maybe certain areas that are more centered around, they maybe have a more of a climate like that. There are certain issues that are a part of that, isn't there? Right? So just in all that he did, he made it so that each season provides a benefit to this earth that he created. Not only that, but the benefits that are provided by the seasons are also for the animals. He did that too. All of his earth that he created, the animals that he created, he made it that there's something beneficial for them as we go through the seasons, the natural seasons. And he also made it beneficial for us as well, his creation. Right? It's a benefit and a blessing to all of us. And whether we prefer one or the other, it doesn't really matter because it's temporary. You know, you can say, well, I really enjoy it. Oh, well, you know, and it's kind of nice here, especially in Texas in the spring, isn't it? It's enjoyable. We get some nice, generally the temperature is pretty mild and it's not quite humid yet. We enjoy it, but we know the summer's coming and it may be a little bit different, right? It's gonna, when that temperature starts to heat up and the humidity comes, but you know what? We can know that the summer don't last forever, right? It's gonna be temporary and there's gonna be a period of time, then we'll go into the fall and so on and so forth. So we recognize that in a natural sense. And as we consider this, then we know that we recognize that there are also seasons of life. There are seasons of our own life, things that we go through in our own life that are temporary. Some things, maybe in the midst of them, they may not seem like that, but we recognize that as we go through the seasons of life, the things that we experience and that we go through, that they don't last forever. They're temporary, you know, and a lot of times, aren't there things that are out of our control? Yeah. You know, in all of our efforts as mankind and as human beings to try to have a order and things to our lives and try to focus things out, we just recognize there are certain things that is out of our control. There's things that we can do nothing about. But you know what? God allows those things, doesn't he? And what we can recognize in that, in all the seasons of life, there's something some things out of our control just happen because of mankind. You know, men's hearts, if everyone had a desire and a will and a want to serve God, things would be a little bit different, right? This world would be a little bit different, but it's just not that way. So we recognize in situations like that, God does allow things to happen, but we recognize that in all seasons of life, that God has a blessing for each and every one of us, and there's a benefit for it. So I'd like us to turn to familiar texts of Scripture in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. I'm going to read starting at verse 1 through verse 8. But our focus this morning is going to be on that first verse. Ecclesiastes, third chapter, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get. Time to lose, time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So we recognize in reading these scriptures, even if we just look at life in general and just our world in general, we recognize that the ebbs and flows, there's different times. There's times for things. And as we read through this morning, you recognize that there are opposites that are going on here, right? A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. And how these things, it just seems like it's the ebb and flow of life. It's this life that we go through. There's times, and a lot of these things, they may be out of our control. And some things are due just because the hearts of mankind. Different times, there's times that we weep. And then there's times that we can have some laughter. There's times maybe where we're a little bit sad, but then there's times when we're happy. And that's how life is, right? It's not like we're all, everything is the same all the time, but it happens to all of us, right? A time to cast away and a time to gather, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep silent. Sometimes there's a time to keep silent. Right? And then sometimes it's time to speak. There's all of these things, each and every one of us in our, we experience these things. Time to love. Sometimes that's the way, it's just the up and down. It's the cycle, seem like the cycle of life. Times of war and time of peace. But you know what? the focus there on that first verse, Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, to everything, there is a season. So in other words, there's going to be everything. There's going to be a period of time, but it's going to be temporary. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So as we think about this morning, the thought is that in whatever season of life I'm in, there is a particular purpose. And as for me, I want to get what's the purpose in this particular season of life that I'm in. Whatever I may be dealing with, whatever it is, what's the purpose of it? Because I want to make sure that I get that purpose. The writer said every change cuts out something, a new work, which we should have a carefulness, a concern about. It's more about what the purpose is, not about what's going on. And it's just, you know what it is? It's the roller coaster of life. It's the up and down. But again, the important thing for us to realize and recognize that it's only for a space of time. In that space of time, in this season, what is the purpose? And Lord, help me to get it. I'd like to make some analogies as it relates to the ebbs, the highs and the lows of life. Maybe think about it in this way. We can study the weather and recognize that there's sometimes this sunshine and sometimes it's rain. And just like the seasons, if I went around the church this morning and said, which one do you prefer? Well, some might say, well, I like when it rains. And some might say, I like the sunshine. As far as I'm concerned, if it didn't rain for X number of days, I would be just fine. But again, recognizing as we think about the rain and the sun and know that in all of that, it's temporary. You know, it may be raining. Just wait a little while, because then that rain will dry up and then the sun will come out. But again, what is the purpose? So here's some things that we can recognize about. We may prefer one or the other, but again, there's benefits. There's benefits, again, for rain and sun, not only for us, for the earth, and for all of God's creation. Some of this might get back into a little bit of science this morning for you. Some of those that are still in school maybe recognize some of these, and some of us we're going to have to pull it back from our memories. So when we think about the sunlight, how is it the sunlight beneficial? For us as human beings, do you know that the sun helps our bodies produce vitamin D, which helps regulate certain systems within our bodies? You know that being exposed to the sunlight, it also helps strengthen your bones. Well, when the sun is out, it's too hot. But there's a benefit to it. Do you know that the sun kills bacteria? And having the sunlight helps us. It helps improve our sleeps. It has to do with our circadian rhythm. Helps us keep us into balance. Those are some of the benefits that the sun has for us as human beings. What about the benefits for the earth that we live in? Do you know that the sunlight makes earth habitable? That if it wasn't for the sun, that the earth would freeze. So it makes it so we can live on this earth that God created. It's an energy source for plants. It's part of the photosynthesis. Right? Going back to science, in middle school, maybe even elementary. Just the process of how that all that works. Some of you could probably explain it better than me. It helps produce oxygen, the sun. It supports a plant life to provide for animals and then provide for us as human beings. It's part of the life cycle. And that is something that without plant life, so the sun supports the plant, so without that support, the plant life would die. And who would that have an impact on? All of us, right? The animals and us and everybody. It would have an effect on us all. And you know what else sunlight does? You know it helps us to be able to see, right? It provides light, right? It's otherwise we would need artificial light all the time. It's a blessing and a benefit for us. Well, what about the rain? What does the rain do for us? It's the water source. It helps replenish all the reservoirs for drinking and for irrigation to our world. It helps the crops to grow. It helps support the ecosystem. You know how the rain helps regulate the temperature? Yes, it does. Helps regulate the climate as well. And it also cleanses the earth from pollutants and debris. So all of these things are important. You know that rain can have a calming effect on you. It can help relieve your stress. And you know this is maybe one that you don't think about. Did you know that you exert a little bit more energy if you're out in the rain? Because you have to put forth more of an effort to watch your step. The rain, the seasons of life. Sometimes it might be shine, the sun will be out. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for the sun. This season of the sunshine, because I recognize the blessing and the benefits that it provides, not only for me, but your whole creation. And then when the rain comes down, we can say, thank you, Lord, for the rain. Because I recognize too, Lord, all the blessings and the benefits of the rain. So we think about seasons of life. We think about the sun and the rain. And we think about, spiritually speaking, about how in the seasons of life, sometimes we might be on the mountaintop. But you know, sometimes we might be in the valley. You know, there's blessings from each one. You know, we couldn't. What do you think would happen if we was on the mountaintop all the time? Do you think that there would be a tendency maybe to get a little bit relaxed? Maybe get a little bit complacent? To think, oh, everything is fine and it's good? I think there would be. So we need the valleys. But you know what? It's what's good for us to recognize is that, you know what? It's temporary. It's a season of life. You know, today I may be on the mountaintop, but I don't know what's coming tomorrow. And tomorrow I may be down in the valley. Oh, but the wonderful thing is these are opportunities. Wherever I'm are in the season of life, there's a time and a purpose for it. What am I supposed to be getting? If I'm on the mountaintop, I'm thinking about, Lord, thank you. I'm giving God praise and thanksgiving because maybe a little bit before I was down in the valley. So thank you, Lord, for bringing me through the valley. And I can have an attitude of gratitude and being thankful and being grateful, Lord, for your many and your wondrous blessings. And you know, you can say, thank you, Lord, for a little reprieve. But you also have to recognize that, Lord, in this reprieve, I'm preparing because I know the valley's coming. Right. And when I'm in the valley, that's an opportunity as well. There's a time and a purpose for everything. When things are a little bit troubled, I can get a little bit closer to the Lord. Maybe sometimes, you know what? When we're in the valley, when we're dealing with difficult situations, we find ourselves maybe a little bit more diligent, don't we? Maybe a little bit more careful in terms of having communion with the Lord. So isn't it important? That's why it's important. Lord, help me to get the purpose when I'm in the valley. To use it, Lord, to get a little closer to you. I'm not saying that we don't have to desire to stay there. But we recognize where we are and say, Lord, I want to get what you have for me while I'm here. So we talked about some parallels with the sun and the rain being in the mountain and in the valley. I'm going to parallel that as well to the morning and the night. Seasons of life. There's a verse of scripture in Psalms, the 30th chapter and the 5th verse. His anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Like to focus on the second half of that verse. Again, we're talking about the seasons of life and paralleling the ups and the downs and the sunshine and the rain. And comparing now here the night and the morning. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. The joy is coming in the morning. The writer says that as sure as the light of the morning returns after the darkness of the night, so sure will joy and comfort return in a short time, in due time to the people of God. So we recognize maybe in the season of life when we feel like it's nighttime to know that the morning is just around the corner. That you may be in some difficult times now, but there's joy coming in the morning. We can think about that. You get towards the nighttime, and maybe you get a little bit more weary. You got a little weariness, maybe some tiredness that you have. But isn't it wonderful? You lay your head down, you go to sleep for a little while, and then what do? You wake up refreshed, don't you? You wake up, got some more energy, got some more strength, and God is with you. So if you're in the nighttime now, be encouraged. It's just a temporary period because joy is coming in the morning. There's a song, it says, joy comes in the morning. And the writer said this in this song. It says, the first verse says, if you've knelt beside the rubble of an aching, broken heart, when the things you gave your life to fell apart, you're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, or pain, but the Master promised sunshine after rain. So the encouragement the songwriter gave, he said, hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means that the dawn is just in sight. Maybe you're in the time of your life where you feel like it's darkness all around you. Just hold on, child. There's joy coming in the morning. The dawn of light is just around the corner. Just hold on. Just keep holding on. And that second verse says, listen to these words. It says to invest your seed of trust in God in mountains you can't move. Can you do anything about it? Sometimes circumstances of life, situations of life that is out of our control. The writer said, invest your seed of trust in God in mountains you can't move. You risk your life on things you cannot prove. But the writer says, but to give the things you cannot keep for what you cannot lose, now that's the way to find the joy that God has for you. To give the things you cannot keep for what you cannot lose. Amen. Songwriter has some deep words. You gotta think about that one a little bit. But you know what? The essence of it is, hold on, child. Hold on, child. Joy's coming in the morning. The weeping only gonna last for the night. Hold on, child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means that the dawn is just in sight. Amen. There's another verse related to this in 2 Samuel, 23rd chapter and the 4th verse. 2 Samuel 23:4.
He shall be as the light of the morning
when the sun rises,
even a morning without clouds,
as the tender grass springing out of the earth
by clear shining after rain.
He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises. And there's not a cloud in the sky. When after the rain, you can see God's earth coming forth with the grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. As the light of the morning, which is the most welcome after the darkness of the night. The light of the morning, when it gets the darkest to the darkest point. When it just seemed like it can't get any darker, that just means that the light is just around the corner. So hold on, child. The joy is coming in the morning. The Amplified says that he dawns on them like the morning light when the sun rises on a cloudless morning. When tender grass springs out of the earth after the shining of the rain. Like to have us go back to a story of someone in Genesis, and we think about the seasons of life and recognize that how this individual came through the highs and came through the lows. I'm not going to read all of it this morning, but if you have time, maybe sometime refamiliarize yourself in Genesis, the 37th chapter through the 45th chapter. It's the story of Joseph. And I'm just going to summarize some of it this morning. But help us to recognize that even and Joseph had some seasons of life that he went through. He had some highs and he had some lows, but the important thing was God was with him every step of the way. And that can be an encouragement for us to know that God, well, he's no respecter of persons now, right? What he's done for others, he'll do for us as well. So again, we're not just going to maybe read some select verses, but just to kind of help summarize a little bit of the story of Joseph. Remember, he was favored by his father. He was favored, and he was favored so much that his father gave him a special coat of many colors that he had. So you can imagine that, you know, that was, if there was already a favorite and he wasn't the only one, he had a lot of other siblings. What do you think? Do you think that helped his situation? His father already showed favoritism to him. And now he has siblings and his father gives him a special gift. That's like pouring salt in their wounds, right? So, you know, you could say that was maybe a kind of a high, but he was favored and loved but by his father, showed a special favor to him, but he had his brothers looking at him cross-eyed. So you know the story. So he starts having dreams. And he had these dreams were so they were just so vibrant that he had to share them. He's like, and think about it. Can you imagine if one of your brothers or your child came to you and said, "I had this dream where y'all was bowing down to me." I mean, we be like, "Hold, time out." What? I mean, he didn't control his dreams, but you know, that's what he had. So you know, here kind of some highs that, you know, I'm having dreams like this, but then I got folks looking at me like I'm crazy. So you know what happened? That didn't help, right? You already favored more than the rest of us, and now you're having dreams that all of us are going to bow down to you. So that didn't increase the love that they had for him. So they, you know what, we're going to have to get rid of this fellow. So they almost killed him, but instead of killing him, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Seasons of life. Now here's this young man, away from all his family. Got some in the valley, kind of. What's going on here? I'm just having dreams. But God was with him, wasn't he? He ends up at Potiphar's house, who's an officer of Pharaoh in a strange land. And it says in Genesis, the 39th chapter, let's read verses 2-4. Just to give a little, you know, here in this season of his life, in all the things that was going on in his life, where was God? Genesis 39:2-4. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And served him. He made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. So here, God is with him, even in a strange land, all by himself. God's blessing him. Everything that he puts his hand on, God is blessing it. There's a purpose in this season of life for him. So he could have been maybe sad and discouraged. I'm not no family around. I'm here all by myself. But recognize he had something that, oh, thank you, Lord. Even in all this going on, I got you still with me. And you're blessing and helping me out. Yeah. Seemed like he was on top of the world almost, right? The valley's coming. He just trying to do right. Trying to serve his master. And now here come his master's wife. Y'all know the story. He ain't want nothing to do with it. He took off running. But he got falsely accused. So one day, he's in the master's house. Almost got everything. He put everything in his hand that he had. And then the next minute, he's in prison. Do you think he had some? What's your plan here, God? I'm in the valley now. I'm in prison all by myself. And not only was he left in prison, he was thrown in prison. But guess what? Go to the 23rd chapter, or the 23rd verse of the 39th chapter. What does it say? The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, but the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Even in, maybe you could say, one of the lowest times of his life, in a prison in a foreign land, being accused of something that he didn't even do, God was with him. And God still blessed him in everything that he did. He caused it to prosper. Then he met the butler and the baker down there. Helped them out on a few, well, one of them got helped out. The one of them got a warning. But then the one, you know, whichever one it was, I think the baker got restored, was it? Or the butler got restored and the baker was killed. That's right. The butler was restored. The baker was killed. And then the butler said, I'm not going to forget about you. When I get back into the king's house, I'm going to tell him all how good you're doing down here. Did he? Forgot about him. He's still down in there. Temporary. It's a season of life. But don't you think that Joseph got, he got, there were some times where he got real close to God. He, you know, there was a specific purpose in that, because God had more work for him to do. Then he's restored. When King Pharaoh had a dream, nobody could interpret it. And he interpreted that dream and he restored back to power. Not only was he given greater power. He was second in command. And then he was given a great responsibility. And then by the help and grace of God, he was able to fulfill the specific purpose that God has for his life. Seasons of life. But God was with him every step of the way. You know, God is the great stabilizer in all the seasons. In all the seasons of life. You know what? The encouragement for each and every one of us to do, whatever season of life we're in, whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're in the valley, wherever you are, it's going to change. So we're going to get all of them. But the important thing for us is to keep being faithful. What was Joseph just kept being faithful. Everything that happened to him, how much of it was in his control? None of it. He had nothing. He couldn't control the favoritism that his dad showed. He couldn't control the hatred that his siblings had for him. He had none of it. But he remained faithful. And that's the encouragement for each and every one of us. We can remain faithful and we can stand on the promises of God. To know that God said he was the Alpha. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. This is what that means. That means he is, he was, and he is to come. Right? He got it all covered from the beginning, in the middle, all the way to the end and evermore. Amen. He's got it all covered. So I can be faithful whatever my season of life. Help me, Lord, to be faithful and stand on your word, because I know that you're a God that cannot and will not change. You know, the important thing is, I'm going to reiterate this point. The reason is more important than the season. The most important thing is, what is God working in you and I in the season? That's what's important for me, because God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. Just like he did for Joseph. God had a specific plan for Joseph. But it was critical for him in whatever the season that God had him in to be faithful. And Lord, what do you have in this for me? My season of life is going to change. Today it may be one thing. Tomorrow it may be something else. Lord, what do you have it in? What's in it for me, Lord? What's in it for me? One other scripture, 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. The 17th and 18th verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18.
For our light affliction,
which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So these light afflictions, these things that we go through as we journey along our pathway of life, are but for a moment. They're just for a moment. And what is working within each and every one of us is far greater than we can ever recognize and realize. It worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the encouragement that the writer gives us here this morning is, don't look at the things that you see. As we go through and journey through the seasons of life, don't focus on what you see. Focus on what you can't see. Because what you can't see is how God, with your literal eyes, you can see him with your spiritual eyes. With your spiritual eyes, each and every one of us can recognize God working within each and every one of us. So as I'm going through the seasons of life, Lord, help my focus to be on, Lord, what you're working in me instead of the circumstances and the situations around me. Because I want to get what you have for me out of each of these situations. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. All these things sometimes that we get so caught up in and so focused on and guilty. It's temporal. It's going to pass away one day. What's more important is, Lord, what are you doing in me? More concerned about the things that are eternal. So my encouragement to us this morning, whatever your current season of life, endeavor to be faithful. By God's grace and strength, endeavor to be faithful. And that's my desire as well. You know, I'm not exempt. Preachers have to go through the seasons of life as well. And I have a responsibility and a duty. Lord, help me to be faithful. Lord, by your grace and strength, help me to be faithful in whatever the season of life. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. Your prayers for me.